Welcome to today's NCPA conference call, hosted by Ms. Valerie Briggs, entitled Community Pharmacy National Bone Marrow Donor Drive Planning Webinar. During the presentation, all lines will be in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Ms. Valerie Briggs.
Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kellen. Yes, my name is Valerie Briggs. Welcome to everyone. I am the Director of Communications here at the National Community Pharmacists Association. I'd like to welcome you to today's webinar on the NCPA Foundation DKMS Bone Marrow Drive Training. Again, a big thank you in advance for all of you for agreeing to participate in the first ever Community Pharmacy National Bone Marrow Donor Drive that has been coordinated by the NCPA Foundation in conjunction with DKMS, the world's largest and most experienced bone marrow donor center. Please note that if you have not yet confirmed with DKMS regarding your participation in the bone marrow drive, to please email Amanda Nagel at amanda@dkmsamericas.org ASAP to confirm your participation. You must do so in order to receive the necessary supplies and to participate in the bone marrow drives in your stores. With us today, we are pleased to have Amanda Nagel from DKMS, as well as Catherine Kuhn, Executive Director of the NCPA Foundation, along with fellow NCPA member and community pharmacist Dave Wilcox of Northwest Medical Pharmacy in Fresno, California. After their remarks and the presentation, we will open up the call for your questions. Today's call will be recorded and will be provided on the NCPA Foundation website for later download. So with that, I'd like to introduce Catherine Kuhn.
Thank you, Valerie, and welcome to our webinar today. I'd like to thank all of you for joining the NCPA Foundation in this effort. November is National Bone Marrow Awareness Month, so this really is an opportune time to increase the awareness about help to increase the National Bone Marrow Donor Registry. We know independent pharmacies are an important healthcare resource center in your local community, so by participating in this initiative, you certainly are demonstrating that you are a valuable asset to your community. The Foundation hopes to bring more of these programs like this to you in the future, so for now we want to thank you for helping make a difference by reaching out to your communities to find donors for the bone marrow registry. I would like to also thank our partner DKMS for its generous support. DKMS is providing all of the donor screening kits, and they are also helping to underwrite the laboratory testing fees for the cheek swab tissue sample. And we also like to thank them for providing this training session for us today as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we'd like to start with you, Amanda, if you can go inside the training.
Sure. Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Amanda, and I am a donor recruiter at DKMS Americas, and we are a National Bone Marrow Donor Center, and all of our donors are placed on the National Be the Match Registry. We were founded in the early 90s in Germany because at that time our founder's wife needed a transplant, and there were not enough donors on the registry. In 1 year, DKMS registered 68,000 people and realized that they were onto something really amazing. So 18 years later, they brought their mission to the United States and opened up our office here in New York. Since that time, more than 18,000 donors have helped save lives all over the world. And today, we have over 2 million registered donors. So when we made the PowerPoint, it was less than 2 million, but now it is over 2 million. So we're really excited about that. In America, we've registered over 100,000 donors, and with your help, we hope to see this number double and triple. So why do we need bone marrow donors? Every year, more than 10,000 Americans could benefit from a bone marrow transplant. Unfortunately, only 3 out of 10 patients will get the transplant that they need, and that's largely due in part because there aren't enough volunteer donors. Leukemia is the most common disease children in the United States die of, and we're out to change that. In the U.S., there are 7 million volunteer bone marrow donors. And like I said before, only 3 out of 10 patients will receive the transplant. You're more likely to match someone with the same ethnic background as you because your tissue characteristics are inherited. So this is especially problematic for patients in minority groups because those groups are underrepresented on the national registry. So if your pharmacy is in a community of color, we really encourage you to get out there and recruit donors and help us. Your pharmacy's participation is very important to us, and we are so grateful that you're participating today. More donors means more chances to find compatible donors and increase the number of life-saving transplants. So now I just want to go into how to actually register the donor. So once you receive the materials in your pharmacy, you're going to the first thing you're going to ask the donor is if they've already registered. If they've already registered, they're on the list until their 61st birthday, so they do not need to re-register. If the person thinks, you know, I may have done this before, what you want to encourage them to do is call the National Registry at 1-800-MARROW2 to confirm whether or not they're registered. If they are not registered, then you can go ahead and sign them up. You want to inform the donor that they'll be on the National Registry until they're 61, and they can be matched to any patient in need, not just for one specific person. The next thing you're going to have the donor do is review Sign 1. These are the eligibility requirements. We have eligibility requirements to protect both the patient and the donor. Donors must be between ages of 18 and 55 and in overall general good health. They must be at least 110 pounds, cannot have any autoimmune disorders, cannot be HIV positive, cannot have diabetes requiring insulin injections, no current hepatitis infection, epilepsy as long as it's been a year since the last seizure, and they cannot have chronic or severe back problems. In your materials, in the red folder that DKMS sends you, there's going to be a huge list of every health disorder that you could think of in alphabetical order, and it will give you instructions if the donor says, you know, I have this thing, it's not listed on the eligibility requirements, could you check into it? So you can just look at the list, alphabetical, and it will tell you whether or not you can accept or defer the donor. After you've gone through step one, the eligibility criteria, the next one you're going to go into is step two. The donor must meet these BMI requirements. So basically, if you're 5'5", if the donor is 5'5", the most they can weigh is 240 pounds. If they are 241 pounds at 5'5", they cannot register. These weight guidelines are for the donor's safety. Then after step two, then you're going to go over step three with them, the actual donation process. What it means if you're selected as a match and you agree to go on to donate. There are two possible ways to donate stem cells for a transplant. The majority of the time we do a procedure, it's called peripheral blood stem cell collection. What happens is the donor receives a series of injections a few days before the actual collection. The injection is of a protein called filgrastim. And what filgrastim does is it increases the number of stem cells in the bloodstream so that on the day of the donation, we can filter the donor's blood over a period of 6 hours and filter out those stem cells. So the blood draw is drawn from one arm, it passes through a filter, and then your blood returns to you in the other arm. The side effects donors experience are from the injections. They mimic flu-like symptoms, headache, muscle ache, fatigue, sometimes nausea. These symptoms subside immediately after the donation or within 24 hours of donation. So, basically, we never want to twist anyone's arm and get them to sign up, just to sign up, because we want them to be really informed. So we want to give them all of the information up front, because the worst thing that happens is when a donor matches and then they decide they don't want to do it because they weren't, they didn't receive the information about the ways to donate, and they get afraid or they decide, you know what, I can't do this. So it's really important that all of the side effects and everything gets explained to the donor beforehand. Now, there's another possible way to get stem cells, and this is what most people are familiar with, but oftentimes there are misconceptions. This is the bone marrow extraction. It's often referred to as a bone marrow harvest as well. What happens is the donor receives anesthesia, and while they're sedated, the doctor inserts a hollow needle into the back of their pelvic bone. The incision itself is not, it's like 3/4 of an inch, so the donor does not need stitches. They just get Band-Aids. But afterwards, the recovery, it feels like someone kicked you unbelievably hard. This discomfort can last about a week. Discomfort, you know, we tell people you can't do any heavy lifting, you can't do any rigorous workouts, but the procedure itself is outpatient. So you go into the collection center early in the morning and you leave that same evening. So both procedures, A and B, are both outpatient. But, you know, with the procedure B, the recovery is a little bit longer. I'll take questions on these when we get to the question and answer portion. So the bottom line is you just want to make sure that the donor is informed, that they know that there are two possible ways to donate stem cells. Yes, procedure B also causes fatigue afterwards. Thank you, Terry. That's from the anesthesia wearing off and the soreness. But I'll take questions about that afterwards. But we want people to feel very, we want them to be informed ahead of time, because we really don't want people backing out once they are a match. We'd rather not even sign those people up because we don't want to waste hope for our patients. Like I said, it's very important that the donors understand the two procedures. We need to get informed consent. If someone feels very apprehensive or unsure, or they're the type of person that says, oh my God, I faint at the sight of a needle, these aren't our ideal bone marrow donors, so it's actually wiser not to sign them up. If they have a change of heart, they can always come to our website after your donor drive and register online. They would fill out the form online and we would mail them the cheek swabs to their home address. The actual registration form is really important, and it might sound silly, but this is our only link to the donor until they're 61 years old. So it's so important, if we identify a match, that we can actually reach them. So everything on the registration form is necessary except Social Security, driver's license, and employer. Social Security number is strongly encouraged, and this is because in 5 years, if the donor doesn't update their contact information, we can punch in their social into a system and get their most current address. So you'd be surprised, one of the most difficult things about why we can't get donors is because we can't locate the donors that we have. So it's so important that we get as much contact information about them as possible. So we ask for at least 2 phone numbers and 1 non-academic email address. We also ask for an emergency contact person. This should be someone that does not live with the donor. So, for example, I would preferably not list a spouse, because if they move, they're probably going to move together. So that wouldn't help us. We also cannot register donors that are missing a signature on their form. That means that we didn't get informed consent. So the volunteer must ensure that the donor signs the form. And what they're consenting to is to do a cheek swab and be listed anonymously on the registry. They're not obligated to donate, but again, you know, the idea is we want to recruit donors that are likely to donate because they want to. So this is the sample of what the registration form looks like. It's 1 page. It's legal size. And again, everything we need. I also forgot to mention sections 10 and 11 are ethnicity and ancestry. This is very important. When we do a search We want to narrow it first because you're more likely to match someone with the same ethnic background as you. So we encourage people to put down as best as they know their heritage, because then we can first search people with relevant heritage, and if no matches pop up, then we expand the search to all. Just think, it's like 7 million pieces of data. It's, you know, when you do a Google search, you always search first very narrow, and then you broaden it, and it's the same principle here. Okay? A volunteer is also, you know, someone at the pharmacy is going to serve as the witness, and they're going to sign it as well. So now let's talk about the, how do we do the cheek swab? It's very simple. The donor is going to do it themselves. The donor is going to swish and swallow a small amount of water. So the pharmacy is going to have to provide the water, but we've mailed you Dixie cups, like little paper cups. Now let me just go back to the form for 1 minute. At the top here, there's three stickers. Those stickers are barcodes. Each donor gets their own unique barcode. That barcode sticker is how we keep people's information confidential, because the lab is going to receive the tissue sample with the barcode sticker. They're not going to know that that tissue sample belongs to me, Amanda. They're just going to know it as donor 1234. So one barcode sticker gets placed on the upper right-hand corner of the envelope that we provided, okay? Now, the barcode sticker goes on the envelope. After the donor swishes and swallows some water, they're going to open the packet of cheek swabs. Each packet contains two swabs. They're going to, in a circular motion, rub the inside of their cheek in a circular motion for about 10 to 15 seconds. Okay? They should do it one at a time, and then put the swab inside the envelope. It's very low tech, nothing fancy. We use envelopes because the paper, it's breathable. That's what the lab wants. So then they're going to repeat, do the second cheek swab on the other cheek in a circular motion, and then put that swab in the envelope, and then seal the envelope. The donor can do this themselves. You don't have to do this. And we're almost done. So now, we do not make the testing fee mandatory. It costs $65 to type the tissue of one donor. We encourage people to, if they can afford or they would like to, make a contribution towards their test, even if it's $1. Every dollar for us counts. They will receive a copy of their registration form, so this is also a tax-deductible receipt. There are other ways that we encourage our volunteers to fundraise to help us pay for the tissue typing costs, you know, doing sponsorships. Sometimes local business will donate a portion of the proceeds to a bone marrow drive. Sometimes businesses will put out little cans with, you know, info about the organization, and people can put their spare change. For us, literally every penny counts, and 100% of the money collected will only be used for the tissue typing costs. It will not be used for anything else. So if you have any questions about that, I'll take them at the end. And then the last thing, the final check. This is the last time you're going to have the donor in front of them before we list them on the registry. So you want to review the form, make sure all of the necessary information is on the form. You know, that there are two ways to reach the donor, that there's a contact person, that they give their date of birth, their height, their weight, their gender, their ethnicity. It's very, very important. So once you check the form and make sure that it's signed, dated, and all the information is there, you're going to give the donor the pink carbon copy of the form, and you're going to retain the white and yellow copies, which will be returned to me at GKMS, and you're also going to retain the envelope with the barcode sticker that matches their form. Okay? It's very important that I receive all of the materials back here at GKMS by November 30th. I've included in the red folders that you'll receive, or if you've received them already, there's a return FedEx label. So you have two options. You can either drop off the package, you just reseal everything back up in the package it came in, and drop it off at a FedEx location, or you can arrange a pickup at your store. You call 1-800-GO-FEDEX and arrange a pickup. So those are two options for you. And then we'll provide the label so you do not incur any shipping costs. And so this is just where I want to say thank you. We could not do our life-saving work without volunteers who are so kind to give their time. And we appreciate so much the willingness for you all to take to do the donor drive. And I look forward to working with all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. And now we'll have Catherine Kuhn from the NCPA Foundation for the last few slides.
Thank you, Valerie. Yes, I just wanted to point out there are some additional resources that we have developed for you to help promote your bone marrow donor drives in your local communities. So if you go to the foundation website, which is at ncpafoundation.org, you'll find this web page under Community Pharmacy Service Programs and under the Bone Marrow Donor Drive. And if you page down on this page, you'll find that we've developed for you a poster and some newspaper ads, bag stuffers for you to use in your pharmacies. And these materials have writable fields for you to add in your pharmacy information, the date and time of your donor drive, and also your contact information. We've also created a press release for you that you can send to your local media. And there's some additional resources there for you to provide your patients, to give them background information about becoming a bone marrow donor. So hopefully you will find these helpful, and we'd like to get your feedback too. We hope to follow up with all of you who do participate in our National Bone Marrow Donor Drive to learn from you, and also that so that we can find out what we can do to improve these kinds of programs in the future. So now I would like to turn this over to Dave Wilcox. And Dave is a pharmacy owner from Fresno, California, and we actually first learned about participating in this national initiative through Dave Wilcox. So he is going to share with you his personal experiences and how he got involved with this initially. Dave?
Oh, thank you very much. As Catherine indicated, I had gotten involved in bone marrow screening due to a circumstance that is surprising to everyone. My son, stepson at the age of 30, had called us on Thanksgiving to inform us that he had gone in and done some blood work and found out that he was diagnosed with leukemia. And through a process of doctors and what have you, he eventually was transferred from where he was stationed in Hawaii back to California so that he could go to Stanford Hospital. And so that this has been a learning experience for us, and obviously we're very passionate about this. And we found out, just as you have heard today, that the chances of finding bone marrow matches, especially in those ethnic groups, Hispanics, Blacks, Asians, the chances of finding a match are anywhere from 3 to 7%, and yet those that are of Caucasian, because just the number of registrants, their chance of a match can be as high as 90 to 95%. And we just felt that this was something that should not be acceptable in today's time in the medical field. And so this is one of our efforts, and I thank NCPA and the foundation for getting involved in this to go out and help us educate those people that can get on the registry and become a donor. This would be a great opportunity for pharmacy to get involved. Whether we find a match in time to help Jay or not is really somewhat irrelevant from a standpoint of, this is something I think is very measurable. And the number of lives that we as pharmacists can save and improve those odds and opportunity is wonderful. And I just wanted to take the opportunity personally to thank you for signing up and doing this. And it's my goal and our goal to be able to make this an annual thing. And I think over time we can really improve those numbers from 5 to 7%. There's no reason why we can't bring those numbers up significantly. And in doing so, thousands of young children and individuals will have an opportunity to have a second chance. So with that, some of the experiences I've had, we've done a number of bone marrow screenings. I just want to reemphasize the importance of getting quality applicants, even though it is a numbers game in somewhat. I mean, it's the number of registrants that improve those numbers, but they need to be quality registrants. So take the time to get accurate information and make sure we have informed donors so that if they do find out that they're a match, we're able to track them down and that they're still willing to be able to take the finish the process and give life to someone. Other than that, I'm just here to help and answer any questions that might come through in regards to your involvement. Again, thank you so much for doing this, and I look forward to doing this in the future with you as well.
Great. Thank you, Dave, so much for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. And with that, we will go to questions. Kellen, if you're on the line, can you start the Q&A process, please?
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0 followed by a 1 on your touch-tone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. Again, if you have a question, press 0 followed by a 1 now, and please hold briefly while our system compiles your responses.
While we're waiting for those questions, just a reminder, as Catherine said, the promotion, you might not be able to see it on the slide due to the size of the type, but if you visit the Foundation's website at ncpafoundation.org, you will see all this information about the drive and all the promotional materials that have been created for your use. And in that vein, we also ask that if you are, when you host the event at your stores, if you take any pictures, to please, send us copies of those, get the required consent of your patients, of course, but to let us be able to maybe use some of those pictures in an upcoming America's Pharmacist article. As Dave mentioned, we hope this is a ongoing initiative, something that we do year after year, and so we want to definitely highlight the coverage of all the good work that you all will be doing as you have the drives in your communities. Kellen, do we have any questions so far?
Yes, Ms. Briggs. Our first question comes from Julie Lawson from Mount Pilot Drug. Please go ahead, Julie.
Hi, everybody. I have two questions. The one is regarding eligibility. You mentioned diabetes patients who are insulin dependent are not eligible. What about other non-insulin injectables like Byetta or other products similar to that?
Great question. We're really concerned about the injectables, but we oftentimes there are some other underlying conditions. So you just if they have diabetes, let's say type 2, and they're taking like an oral pill, that's okay, but you just want to make sure then that their weight is in check, that they meet the BMI requirements, and that there are no other underlying conditions as well.
Okay, very good. Now, I'm just asking a confirmation here. Did you say that donation procedure A is the most common?
That is the most common, although most people are not familiar with it. In most cases, it's about 75% of the transplants. I typically won't tell people the percentages just because, you know, they might be that one person, you know, in that 25% minority who will be asked to donate bone marrow. The patients who are children often respond better to bone marrow. So oftentimes that is the method of choice. They do that less frequently, only 25% of the collections, but you don't know who you're going to match, so you have to be prepared to be asked to do either procedure A or B.
Okay. Within the promotional materials, is there a photograph for physician release form, or is that something we need to just make up?
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again, please?
Within the promotional materials on the Foundation website, is there a photo release, or is that something that we would need to just make up a general?
We can get a copy of a standard release to you. We can do that, so you'll have that in hand. And then, yes, like I said, if you can share those pictures with us, you can send them to me. I posted my email address on the online chat feature. It's valerie.briggs@ncpanet.org. And like I said, we'll look to maybe post those on the Foundation website and possibly in a future article in America's Pharmacist. So we'll get a release form out to all of the signed-up pharmacies for their use.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Nancy Prinsing from Prinsing Pharmacy. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, everyone. I was not able to get the address for the website for the promotional materials. Could I just have that again, please?
Sure. It's the NCPA Foundation website. So it's ncpafoundation.org.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, Nancy.
Again, to ask a question, please press 01 now.
While we're waiting, Catherine has some questions and comments she's collected.
Yes. From our first webinar that we held on October 1st, there were several good questions that I just thought I would share with the group that came up at that time. One was a question about whether or not materials are available in Spanish. And Amanda, could you address that for us, please?
We do have some documents in Spanish, informational materials. We don't have any brochures, but we do have informational materials that you can have available at the event itself. If your pharmacy would require that or need that, or you feel that your customers would benefit from that, just shoot me an email, and I can email you over some of our paperwork in Spanish.
Thank you, Amanda. Also, another question that came up on our last webinar was a question about the donors, if they are not able to find a transplant center locally, how would that work for them?
Such good questions. So what happens is when we register a donor, they're a match, we try to get them to donate at a collection center nearest to where they live. Now, if they're from a rural area, chances are there's not going to be a major transplant center that we can send them to. So what would happen is DKMS would fly them, or if it's drivable, like a two-hour thing, we would compensate them for mileage and get them to the nearest facility. The procedures themselves, the actual donation in terms of cost, that is covered by the patient's insurance. So the things that the donor is that would have to donate in addition to themselves is their time. So they can expect at least 1 to 2 days that they would have to take off of work.
But just to clarify, Amanda, so that's the there are no costs involved for the donor other than if they were to miss time from work or...
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Those are all the questions that I had.
Great. Kellen, were there other questions in the queue?
Yes, Ms. Briggs. Our next question comes from Edward Bechtel from Bechtel Pharmacy. Please go ahead, Edward.
Just clarification, the $65 to process the... We're to ask the patients to pay that, and if they can't pay, it's not required?
Right. $65, it's kind of like when you go to a museum and there's a suggested donation. $65 is what it costs our nonprofit to type the tissue of one person. So if you recruit 100 donors, that costs $6,500. So we encourage people that if they would like to make a donation to a worthy cause, that they choose this cause because 100% of the dollars used will only be used for their tissue typing test. The DNA tests are kind of pricey.
Okay. And if I could just make a comment, both my wife and I got on the donor list about 20 years ago because it was a gentleman that in our community that needed a bone marrow transplant. My wife's given bone marrow. I've done the stem cell.
Oh, wow.
So even though Bob, they never found a match for Bob, but at least two other people were identified, you know, because of that drive.
That's wonderful. That's amazing that both you and your wife were matches. Amazing.
Thank you so much for your comments and your questions. Kellen, are there other questions?
Yes, Ms. Briggs. Our next question comes from Nicole Wilson from St. Mary's Pharmacy. Please go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you said that a person's weight is very important. You said if they're 5'5", they can't be over 240 pounds. So do we take their, what they say they weigh, or do we actually have to weigh them?
No, and you can go by what they say. They have to look at the chart and just, you know, It's for their safety, for anesthesia. If they're selected to do the bone marrow donation, the anesthesia becomes even riskier for people that are over the BMI requirements that we follow. So, you know, you go by what they say, that you don't have to weigh them, but, they, you know, if there are any issues, I mean, we can figure it out.
Okay, thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press 01 now. And there appears to be no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. I wanted to offer the opportunity for closing comments from Catherine.
Oh, thank you, Valerie. I just wanted to thank you again for all of you for participating in our National Bone Marrow Donor Drive. And also I wanted to recognize the Community Pharmacy Foundation, who contributed a grant to help underwrite our national program. Thank you, Valerie.
Great. Amanda, any last comments from you?
Nope, just a big thanks from the KMS, and, you know, I want people to feel very comfortable. If they have any questions, to feel free to call me or email me or, you know, just call our toll-free number if you can't get a hold of me, and someone here at the KMS will be glad to answer any questions or concerns.
Could you share your email address with us one last time, Amanda?
Sure. It's just my first name, Amanda, at dkmsamericas.org. And my phone number is 212-209-6704. And our toll-free number is 866-340-DKMS.
Great. Thank you. And Dave, any last words from you?
Again, thank everyone for participating, and thank you, NCPA, and Amanda, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, she is awesome, and I reiterate all the thank yous to everyone involved, ZKMS, to the foundation, to the Community Pharmacy Foundation, and to all of you on the line today. All of you on the line today for participating. And a reminder that the October 1st webinar, as well as today's webinar, the audio portion will be recorded and stored on the NCPA Foundation website. So if you want to replay this, if you want to make sure you heard something right from the questions or something that Amanda mentioned earlier, you can play that back at any time. And there's also a copy of today's presentation available on the Foundation website as well. And as always, between now and the second week of November, November 9th through the 14th, when you're hosting your drive, if you have any questions and if you need any assistance, please by all means contact us here at NCPA Foundation or Amanda and her colleagues at DKMS. So with that, I think we will close today's webinar. And again, thank you all so much for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kellen, we can close today's call.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.